And so I just want to thank everybody for their obedience. You know, for some people it may be uncomfortable stepping out into some of these things as the Lord gives you insight and as the Lord shows you some things. But as I've said before, this is the place to step out. This is the place to learn to listen to the voice of God, because this is a church that centers in on the love of Christ. And so it's you're not stepping out. You're not sharing things with the intent of trying to impress anybody.
Amen.
You're simply just sharing just little words, just little nuggets. And it could be very simple things, just like last week. You know, Hannah got up and at my prompting, you know, shared just a scripture that God had given her. So just something as simple as that will minister to an individual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this has kind of been our foundational scripture a little bit. And I'm going to take a few moments to teach tonight. And just every time, particularly on Wednesday nights, every time as I'm sharing the word of God, be open. Listen with your spiritual ears, okay? Don't just listen to the words that I'm saying and just understanding the things that I'm telling you, but take the time. The Bible says, and Jesus said over and over, if you have ears to hear. And he's not talking about your natural ears. He's talking about ears in your spirit man. See? Over and over in Revelations, as he's talking to each of the churches, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So don't listen to what Pastor Mark is saying. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. And as you are open unto that, words are going to come forth that is going to not only be a blessing to you and not only going to encourage and edify you, but it will be a blessing and edify everybody else. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, he said, how is it, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a song? That's what happened Sunday night. Selena had a song, a new song from the Lord. Hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Let me read that again. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, this is very important. But as from a foundational standpoint, what we see in the New Testament church and what we see Paul trying to get across to the church at Corinth is that they were probably having some chaos going on in their services, okay? You know, they had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody was excited about speaking in tongues and all of those kinds of things. But what Paul wanted to do was help kind of create some structure and some order in their services for a very specific purpose. But what he did not do is try to stop the move of the Spirit. And I think that too often churches, if things get a little bit out of order, then what happens is the leadership, they start freaking out a little bit and they just put a stop to the whole thing. Okay, so the best thing to do is not put a stop to it, but rather just instruct and don't quench the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And so that's what Paul is doing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But before we dig into this a little bit more, I'd like to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's lay kind of a foundation for tonight. Lay a foundation for the things that we've been experiencing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. This is commonly referred to as the fivefold ministry. So he set up apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, as we move on into the things of God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to continue to operate in our services, we need to make sure that we understand what our part is. We are all a part of the body of Christ. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has the ability to hear the voice of God and to benefit somebody else. Okay? But God still sets up leadership in the church. And so I've had a few people say, well, you know, some of these people I don't know. Some of these people I don't trust. I don't know them, but I really trust you because you're my pastor. Well, that's okay. And I understand that. So I want you to see what my role as your pastor is, so that you understand that as we all have the part to play, understand that my role is to help build you up. It says here that my role as pastor is for the perfecting of the saints. I have a part to play in to help you become more perfect. It says, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying. Now, edifying, what does edify mean? When a lot of times when we think of edifying, we think that we're talking about something positive. Do something very positive for people. Edify means to build up. Anything that you say with the intent of edifying is always to help build somebody up. It's not just speaking positive words, and it's not just to make them feel good. It's to actually put something into them that causes there to be a foundation, help them build. Paul, when he in Romans, he said, I am looking forward to the time that I can come to you and that I can impart into you some spiritual gift. He wanted to help build them up, to help strengthen them, to help establish them. My part as a pastor is to, according to 1 Peter, is to be an example, and is also to help guide and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to build you up. And so that's the reason why, that when I'm teaching from a perspective of what can I do, Holy Spirit, to help build up the congregation, to help cause them to be stronger in their spirit, to help them go out and to increase in the things of God. Amen. Now, let's go on down to verse 29. Now, this is to the church in general. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, this is a lifestyle. Somebody say lifestyle. But absolutely applies to us in this church setting. Let's go back to the previous verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is corrupt communication? What is corrupt communication? Okay, I like that, Brad. Things that would what? Corrupt another person. Things that would corrupt another person. That's a good answer. I don't want to say anything that would corrupt somebody else. What else is corrupt communication? Proverbs chapter 4 says, perverse lips put far from you. So where would I go to find an example? The best example I know is Jesus. So how did Jesus live? How did he talk? What was his language like? He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. In other words, he was always lined up with the voice of God, his Father, and he made sure that the things that he said is what his Father said. You can't say anything bad if you're speaking what God says. Now, the Word of God is what builds people up. And that's why as you move in the gifts of the Spirit and as you allow the Spirit of God to flow through you, you're speaking words to them that go beyond their understanding and directly into their spirit. Amen. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And that's where we want to be, saints. Amen. We need to go beyond talking to people so that they just get it up here. And we need to start thinking of ourselves as hooked up to the Spirit of Christ. And that as we listen to His voice, that we are ministering words that are spirit and that are life to people. Now, when you start thinking that way and you let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but you decide that the only thing that I'm going to say is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that it may minister what? Grace. That it may minister grace. God's favor to people. I want you to notice where the focus is. The focus on you is to let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That's all that verse is focusing when it comes to me. The rest of the verse is focusing on everybody else. Now, remember what we've been learning. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow after love. Follow after love. Everything that we must do must be done from a love standpoint. That's the only way that the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit will operate in abundance in our life is when we're thinking from a love standpoint. Now, he says here that as you're talking to people, as you're speaking, you want to make sure that what you are saying is edifying, is building somebody up. That means that if my boss made me mad, then I'm not going to go behind his back and talk to a fellow employee about what he said to me, because the thing that I'm saying to them, listen to me, picking up on what Brad said here for a moment, as I start talking about what my boss did to me or what a fellow employee did to me, then what I've done is I am not speaking words that are edifying. If Wendy is a fellow employee and a coworker, and I want to talk to her about what another coworker did, as I start talking to that, what I'm doing is I'm allowing corrupt communication to go out of my mouth, because now I'm corrupting what she thinks about this person. I haven't done anything to build her up. My communication needs to minister grace. I didn't minister grace to her. I ministered gossip. I ministered my problems. That's not what she needs to hear. She needs to be built up. So I need to think from a standpoint of how can I be edifying? And I want to minister grace unto the hearers. Go with me over to John chapter 14. I would like then, as we start thinking about and listening to what the Spirit of God has to say, to go back over what happens as a result of you receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, here's his job. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Part of the Holy Spirit's job in your life is to teach you. My job as pastor and as a teacher is to share with you what the Holy Spirit has given me for you as a church body. But I'm going to tell you that, you know, that I cannot in one message speak everything that each individual needs to know every week. Because everybody is going through different things, needs different words from God. And we would be here a long time If I felt like I needed to prophesy to every single person. That's the reason why you have the Holy Spirit, is to teach you exactly what you need for this week, to lead you in the way that you should go. Now, we just, as a body of believers, we've got to start listening to that voice every day, not just Sunday morning, not just Wednesday night, but be aware. How can I do that? Well, I can start praying in the Spirit. I can make that a part of my daily life, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that as I'm praying in the Spirit, what am I doing? I'm edifying myself. I'm building myself up. I'm speaking mysteries, the hidden wisdom of God.
Yes.
And so what's happening, see, here's the big problem that we have as believers. The big problem is not that God's not talking to us. The Holy Spirit is always speaking. My spirit, the Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. My spirit is always connected with Jesus. And if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, then he's always talking to me. He's always doing his job. The Holy Spirit never stops doing his job. He never says, you know what? I'm on a lunch break right now. You're going to have to handle the situation on your own. He's always talking. Our problem is hearing. Why? Because we got to get past all of this flesh. We got to get past all of our mind. We got to get past all of our emotions. Somebody's made us mad. Guess what? As you're in anger, you stop hearing the voice of God. Strife will stop you from hearing the voice of God. If you've got family situations, marital problems, if you've got strife on your job, it will stop you from hearing the voice of God. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with when the Holy Spirit, how do you deal with when somebody has hurt you deeply? And how do you deal with the fact that you have to continue to deal with that person that has hurt you deeply? The focus has to be removed from how you've been hurt. And the focus must be put on God. And you must find a way to pray for those people. And sometimes it can be very difficult. But the Bible says that where sin doth abound, grace much more abounds. And the things that I'm sharing right now with regard to strife and with regard to hurt are things that the Holy Spirit is telling me to talk about right at this moment, because that's not something that I was thinking about ahead of time. So we're going to deal with that for just a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus said, bless them that curse you. Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said, do good to them. Do good to your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Pray for them. Jesus created a model for us in the way that we are to react. Now, if we refuse to step out and to live and to walk in love and to edify everybody that we talk to, and I don't care if it's somebody that's hurt you so bad, or somebody that you're having to work with that you just don't like that person? How many of you have people in your life that you just don't like? Nobody's going to raise their hand right now because God's working on you. But everybody's dealt with somebody that you just don't like. You got to get past not liking people, because I'm going to tell you something. God loves every person. And so what we're doing is we're allowing the Spirit of God to get out of our spirit man and to permeate our mind, our emotions, the way that we talk, the way that we act, so that when we do that and we get out of strife, that we allow the love of God to flow through us. Now we have positioned ourselves into a place that we can hear His voice and allow Him to teach us. Allow Him to teach us. Allow Him to teach us. He is the teacher. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14. We started last week kind of going down this this chapter a little bit. Again, verse 1 was follow after love, follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And he goes on to say, in verse 4, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. And he said, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues. Why did he say that? Because the person that's prophesying is serving others and is not concentrating on themselves. Okay? Now, let's go on down. And he said in verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks as a barbarian or as a foreigner, and he that speaks shall be a foreigner unto me. Remember the example where I had Brad tell about his day in Spanish last week, and Trey was supposed to tell us exactly what he said. Trey had no idea exactly what he was saying. He heard mama, and that was about it, I think. Teach Trey to volunteer again, won't it? But it illustrated exactly what Paul was trying to say, and that is in a church setting. We can all speak in tongues, but all that we're doing as we speak in tongues is we are just building ourselves up. The person next to us is not being built up by us at all. And so Paul was all about love, always thinking of somebody else. So he says, verse 12, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts. See, he was recognizing that they were zealous. Oh man, they wanted to walk in the things of God. The reason that y'all are here tonight is because you're zealous of spiritual gifts. Everybody wants to be used by the Holy Spirit. You want to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And so there's a zeal on the inside of you saying, Lord, use me. I want to be that person that's used by you. And so he said, for as much then as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, make sure that you seek that you may excel. Somebody excel. That you may excel to the edifying of the church. Now see, this is taking it a whole step further than I think most of us even realize. He said, that needs to be kind of one of our goals, one of our aims. You know, when you excel at something, it means you're really, really, really good at what you do. You know, what are some things that people excel at? You have musicians that excel at what they do. They've spent time practicing. They've spent time making sure that they've studied, that they're good at their craft. You have people that excel in the world of finance or excel in business or excel at being a doctor, excel at being lawyers or excel. You know, you can think about different vocations and people excel. Now, we should seek that we may excel to the building up of the church. Make that your aim in a church setting. Every time you come to church, don't come to church thinking, what can I get out of it for me? Think, what can I do to edify somebody else, to be a blessing? If every time the church opens its doors, you're there and you're looking for an opportunity to be used by God to bless somebody, to edify somebody, to build somebody up. The seed that you sow into the lives of others will come back to you multiplied times over. But if you only are coming into this church just to get something for yourself and you're not giving and you're not imparting into the lives of others, then you're going to be limited in your capacity to receive revelation from God. With what measure you measure, it shall be measured back to you again. It's a heart change. See, we're the body of Christ. So that means that the heart of Jesus flows through us. And his heart is to bring people into the kingdom, to increase his body, but to edify people. And that's his heart. And to build people up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Glory to God. Glory to God. So therefore, he says in verse 13, wherefore let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit's praying. So there it is. My spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. How many of you, as you pray in the spirit, you can be thinking about what you're going to be doing when you get to work. You can be thinking about what you're cooking for dinner. You can think about all kinds of things and keep praying in the spirit. Why? Because your understanding's not involved in it. As a matter of fact, there was a study that was done by the University of Pennsylvania. They wanted to try to figure this thing out. People praying. I read this in USA Today a couple of years ago. And so as they started looking at people that were praying in tongues, what they recognized is the part of their brain that controls speech wasn't even active when they were praying in the spirit. Now, they would not come out and say, well, it must be God. They would say, well, now, we just don't know where it's coming from, but we can tell you it's not coming from their brain. Your spirit is praying. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. Oh, for some people, that's probably kind of weird. Singing in the spirit. Singing in other tongues. I will sing with the understanding also. Else when you shall bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen? What does amen mean? So be it. How will, when you pray in the spirit, will others say amen to your giving of thanks, seeing that they understand not what you're saying? What the Holy Spirit showed me today about this is that it is all... This is so awesome what God does. Check this out. The Bible says where any two or three agree as touching anything, it shall be done. There is power in agreement. That's the reason why Satan wants to come in and create strife. Get people out of agreement with one another. Make them in little islands by themselves. Because as long as he can keep people split, keep the church split, keep marriages split, then what happens is it creates an environment for him to get in. There is less power at work in their life. All right. So the most dangerous thing for him is when two or three come together in agreement. Because as more people agree, then there becomes more power. One can put 1,000 to flight, the Bible says. Two can put 10,000 to flight, right? So what can three put? 100,000? It becomes exponential as the agreement comes together. So in a church environment, when you're giving thanks, when you're praising God, if you're doing it in English, then what happens is that I'm praying, Pat's right here beside me, and he's hearing me talk about, Father, I thank you that you've healed me. Father God, I thank you that every need of mine has been supplied, that you've given me the kingdom. Now, as I'm saying that, I'm speaking words that are spirit. It's charging Pat up right here. And so he starts agreeing with the thing that I'm saying and starts saying, so be it. I agree with that. Amen. And so out of that agreement now, even though I didn't realize it, I've got a fellow brother that is agreeing with the things that I'm saying and adding his faith to what I'm doing. And so those around us now, it becomes an area of agreement. But if I'm just sitting here, just praying in the spirit, Pat may not be getting anything out of that. He's getting zero because I'm edifying myself. See? So there's great power when you're speaking things from a standpoint that other people are edified. Now, that's good. That's good. So that word is edifying to you. Now let's edify one another. Okay. Let's edify one another for a moment. So just stand with me. I love this time. I love this time to allow the Spirit of God, because what's happening is there's that time that I can pastor you, and there's that time that I can teach you, and there's that time that I can edify you. Okay, but then now there's a time where as things were being spoken, just words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Glory to God. Glory to God. So just start praying for just a moment. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is at work right now in the lives of the congregation. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Father, for words. I thank you in the name of Jesus for edification. I thank you for your love. I thank you for building people up. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Father, for your love. Hey, Dad, can you come up here for just a moment? So, Brakdesh Kalabate. As I was praying about the service today, I believe the Lord said for you to share that word that you shared a day or two ago about not letting the word depart.
Okay. See, the key to everything that we receive is the word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Pat and I have been in this situation where we planted the seed, walked in great victory. But then we started walking in great victory and forgetting to plant the seed. And when the seed of the word departed, healing departed. When the seed of the word of God departed, prosperity departed. When the seed of the word of God departed, our real love for one another departed. And really everything came kind of apart. But, you know, I got some good news. Mm-hmm. If at any time we repent, that means turn around. The same word that put us there to begin with will put us there again. Now, see, my old dad, he farmed the same piece of ground for 50 years. And after 50 years, one day he came in and says, I'm not farming no more. not planting no more. And for all those years, we ate the squash and the okra and the tomatoes and the corn. Well, the next year, he didn't plant a crop, and he had a harvest. Grass, cuckleburrs, Johnson grass, ragweed, stinkweed. You see, your heart's always producing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have an ear gate and an eye gate.
That's right.
And a mouth gate. And if you don't meditate on the word, what you hear everybody else saying is going to come to pass. And before long, healing will depart. Prosperity will depart. Everything else will depart. But you've just got to keep coming back and planting that word. Because that's the way you got it the first time. That's the way you'll get it the next time.
Amen. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be willing to be used right now. Be willing to step out. Hallelujah.
Yay. Woo. Go, Mel.
This is it. Here, it's a miracle.
Okay. Yeah, it is a miracle. Okay. In James 3, let's see, where do I need to start? In 3:5, so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. How, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Mm. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so that the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell.
Hallelujah. It's good. It's good.
Sorry.
Glory to God.
Whether you know the word or not, what comes out of your mouth can tear it down. It can pull every seed that has been sown in your heart. It can pull it out. And it can ruin your life. Mm. And so, don't only just put the word in. Speak the word. Believe the word.
Yeah, it's good.
That's all I got to say.
It's good. So I picked right up on ministering grace to the hearers. Well, come here.
We inhale that word. When we receive it, we put it in the midst of our heart, and we keep it there. And, you know, he said, out the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So when we put it in there, we just keep sowing it and sowing it. Like Pastor Mike said, sow that word, read that word. I'm up every morning at 5:30, and I got the word before my face. You know, and when you more, you don't get too old to learn, baby. When the Lord, the more you study that word, the more you do that word, the more it's gonna, you're going to edify yourself. And like Ma said, your Holy Spirit come from here. It don't come from your head. And I just thank God every day for teaching me. You don't never get old alone. Amen. And he said every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. Yes. And we know from now on, when we walk by faith and not by sight and be doers of his word, we don't have to worry about nothing. Because he tell me every day, cast your cares upon your children. And that word he did tonight, by he said, he would bring remembrance to you what you said. I do that over my kids that's in school. Bring remembrance to them what they learned in that classroom. And I had one to tell me today, she was down on the arithmetic. She said, Grandmama, I done build that back up. And she got it back up because I've been speaking the word over.
Praise God.
So speak that word over your children, that all of them are taught by God, and grace should be the peace of them. Go in that Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, and preach that word about that they have a new heart and a right spirit within them.
Amen.
Speak that word over your children, that they all are taught by God, and grace should always be the peace of them. And speak that word that your children would be 10 times wiser than anything in this world. I learned that from Pat when they went long years ago. And Daniel, read them words so your children, honey.
Amen.
And they would be might up on this earth. That's all I got to say.
Amen.
I see, that's good. There's a theme right now that the Holy Spirit is talking, and that's words. Words. The things that you say. They build up or they tear down. That's what Melanie was saying. The words that you speak, they build up or they tear down. Our little tongue, the words that come out, they create things. The Word of God created everything that we see. We were made in His likeness and His image. And the words that we speak either create or they destroy. In the lives of people, in our own lives, in our situations. And so we need to make sure that our words are words that come from God so that they build up and so that they create what God has said in our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for revelation concerning your word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus.
Let me get my electronic devices ready.
Thank you, Lord.
I tell you what, I don't know about the rest of y'all that came up here, but it's a little nerve-wracking. When Pastor Hos... Doing the wrong one, okay. When Pastor... Oh. All right, I got it now. When Pastor Josue came here, I had never heard the story of Peter put that way, and I got a whole lot out of it. And there's a lot more of y'all here than I thought. And it really got me thinking about the story to where I wanted to go and I wanted to read it. And I found a lot of stuff that, for me, has shed entirely new light on that story and about my faith and the power that's in the faith. And on Good Friday, I had an old friend of mine invite me to his church where they just had a praise and worship night. And I went and they played this song called, I believe it's Oceans by Hillsong United. And it's a song that I related to the story of Peter. In the first part of the song, it says, "You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown when my feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery in the oceans deep, my faith will stand." In Matthew 14, you've got where John the Baptist was beheaded. Then you've got Jesus feeding the 5,000. Then right after that, you have him walking on water. And it amazed me that in one chapter of this book, he went from experiencing the death of one of the closest people to him to not being blind and not having his heart hardened by that and still being able to minister to these people. And he didn't let that interfere with his faith and where it could go.
That's good.
And if you really read that, it says in there that there were 5,000 men. There were women and children there also.
Yeah.
So there were more than 5,000 people. And it says that God took those loaves of bread and those fish, and he broke it apart and handed it to the disciples to give out. That's a lot of people to sit here and break bread for each individual person. That's this entire room packed shoulder to shoulder, 5,000 people. Now, through that, the disciples took part in that. They handed out the food.
Thank you, Lord.
And they saw this miracle happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Jesus sent the disciples after they gathered their hand baskets of food. And Jesus went into the mountains to pray by himself. By this time, the disciples were already on the boat out in the middle of the sea. And it says that they were probably a mile, 2 miles or so out in the ocean. And Jesus is still up on the hill. So for that entire distance, he walks on water out there.
Mm-hmm.
He had the faith to go miles into an ocean walking on water in darkness. Honestly, I don't know that I could do that. If I start walking on the water, I'm good. You know, I'm going like, hey, this is working. Then I realize it's dark outside. You know, you pull a Peter, there's waves out here. And he walked for miles and did this. He had that strong of faith. And even after the disciples saw this, they still did not believe until he said it was him. And he said, Peter, in disbelief, said, "If it is truly you, command me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." And he went and stepped out on the water in faith.
Yeah.
Oftentimes we take God and we put him in a box as to what he can and cannot do. The only thing that stops complete blessings is our own faith. As far as your faith can go is as far as you can be blessed.
Come on.
So if you don't put a limit on what you can get, there's not a limit as to what you can receive. And that meant so much to me. You know, I've told a couple of y'all, I've shown you, your family, Mr. Pat, for a couple of years, about 3 years, I've been believing God for a Rolex. And I said, I'm not going to pay for one. I'm just going to get one. And an opportunity arose, and I had somebody give me a Rolex, the exact same one that I wanted. And I praise God. I thank Him. I love it. Wonderful. For 3 years, I've been praying for this watch. And in reading this and getting this revelation, I realized that, you know, I have moved on to something else that I believe God I will receive. And I think that that's too much. And my faith didn't necessarily go that far. And reading this made me realize I just got this watch for free that I should have had to pay thousands of dollars for. But I'm now putting a limit on something that's a little bit more. I'm letting my own faith block what can come into fruition in my life. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the more I read about this, the deeper I go. So I'm about to close it here. Because I promise you, if I keep talking, I'm not going to stop. We'll be here all night. I keep getting stuff the farther I go. In the ending of that song, Oceans, I guess in the chorus, it says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me.
Yes.
Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. It's saying, don't let your trust, don't let your faith have borders. Let it be without borders, and you will walk upon waters. You will go places where you never thought you would be able
yes.
to go. He will be able to call you into greater things than you ever thought you would be able to call, be called into, and you will be made stronger. So being able to experience that greater faith will only cause your faith to grow, and it expounds upon itself indefinitely, and it just keeps carrying you greater and greater into the things of God.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Come on. Hallelujah. These are just all good words. Glory to God. Can you tell that God wants us to take the limits off of what He wants to do in our life?
How do you follow that up?
Wait a minute. Give me this for a second. See, it's not how you follow that up. You obey what the Spirit of God tells you to say, and somebody gets blessed by that. So you're not following Him. You're following the Holy Spirit, and it's exactly what God wants to do. Amen?
Right. Well, a little backstory behind this, getting this. Not this Sunday coming up, but the Sunday after, I have a unique opportunity to minister to a group of young men. And the topic on that is going to be Christian action. And I had an outline, and I'm looking over the outline, and something just didn't seem right about the outline. And the word that I got was love. And I got that last Monday. Mm-hmm. Show up to church. Now, you know, last Wednesday, what's Mark preaching on? Love. Okay, so I sat down Sunday night to, you know, throw out the outline, looking up love. Love, love, love. I felt like there was something missing. Felt like the ending on it was missing. So I'm standing back there tonight and praying in the spirit, and a verse or set of verses was put on my heart. It's 1 John 3:16. And it says, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brothers in needs and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let us not just love in word, but in action. In action. In action. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
scripture while you were preaching, Pastor Mark. And it just speaks itself that the very communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Y'all can take that home and just chew on it, because that'll take you through the whole week. He's put his word in you. He's given you a mouth, and he wants you to speak it out. You're seated in the heavenlies with him. We're in that place of authority. You've been made kings and priests, and you speak the word of God from that place of authority, and it has to come to pass. He's given you that faith, the faith of God. You cannot fail. And it's motivated by love, because the scripture before that says, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints.
Yes, yes.
You know that you are passed from death unto life because you love the brethren, his love that's within you. And it's a sure thing, surefire thing. So that's what I have.
The communication of your faith becomes effectual as you acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're not acknowledging what's good on the inside of you, and if you don't know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you, then you won't have effective faith. So we need to learn some things. We need to learn who is Christ in us. Glory to God. Acknowledge that. Don't be afraid. Be bold. Acknowledge. Acknowledge. Hallelujah.
Y'all can sit down. This is if you have ears to hear. Everybody that has their Bible, turn to Galatians 2, verse 20.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
you, Lord. Now, you heard him talking about putting borders on your faith. And Mark 11:23 says, have faith in God. And then they tell you it really says, have the God kind of faith. But see, I'm going to tell you to have faith in God. He says he's gave you the measure of faith.
Thank you, Lord.
He's gave everybody a measure of faith. You heard him tell you that Jesus walked on the water. He had enough faith at nighttime, whether it makes a difference, night or day. But he brought out that he was walking at night in the dark on the water. If you have ears to hear. Verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of who?
The Son of God.
I live by his faith.
Yeah.
Not my faith.
Yeah.
Get off the fact that you don't have enough faith to do something. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
You don't need more faith. You just need to trust God that what he says will come to pass.
Yeah.
That the word, if I had a hickory nut here and I planted it in the ground, everything in that hickory nut will make the whole tree. It's in that nut.
Mm.
In the Word of God, the reason she brought up about your course of nature is steered by your tongue. Your course of nature means your full life.
Mm-hmm.
Your full life steered by your tongue. Every word that you say has the power in it to produce what that word said. It's not your faith. It's God's faith.
Yeah.
You're going to take credit for something that he's done for you? You can't do that.
That's right.
I'm talking about health, wealth, everything. Get off the fact that I don't have enough faith. I don't have the faith to believe for this or to believe for that. It's not your faith. It's all God. None of it's you. You just step right in there and ride in the boat.
Yeah.
Speak his word. His promises are yes and amen.
Amen.
Anytime he shows you something, he never shows you something to lose. Because he always causes you to triumph.
That's what he says.
So go find something that you want changed.
Yeah.
And say, God, I want to triumph in this. Well, then use his faith. What's he say? He's the author and the finisher. Man, when I was going through some stuff with my wife in 94, and it wasn't good. The doctors just had death on their mind. And I needed an ace. And I found one. It said, he's the author and finisher of my faith. I can't lose with that. Now, do I believe him or do I hope? Am I going to hope it works or am I going to have faith in God's word that it will come to pass?
Peter said, why do you look on me as though by my holiness or our holiness we had made this man to walk? It is faith in his name, yea, the faith that is by him, the faith that comes from him. See, the beautiful thing is, as a believer, we're so focused on us. I don't have enough faith. I can't do enough. All of that, that we've turned and we've made faith a work and we've made faith a law. Instead of saying, it's not me, but it is Jesus that lives on the inside of me. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not I that lives, but it is Christ who lives through me. So if he's living through me, Christ never fails. And so that means I can't fail if I will just get out of myself and allow him to do the work. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us encourages us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for all the encouragement, all the edification, everything that has come. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for everybody that stepped out into a place that they're not comfortable stepping out in, just to share something that you've revealed unto them. And we hear your spirit. We hear you say, love. We hear you say, speak my words. We hear you say, believe in me. We hear you say, take the limits off. We hear you say, it's my faith on the inside of you. Let me do the work. Commit your ways to the Lord. Psalm 37 says, and he will do the work. He will bring it to pass. He will do it. Total trust in you. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer for healing tonight? I don't ever want this to let this opportunity pass. We had two people healed Sunday morning. The power of the Lord was so strong and so present. The power of the Lord is present here to heal you. Does anybody have any pain, any area that they need healing before we close the service? I just want to extend that opportunity this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. You don't have any songs, do you? No? Not. Do you have any to start?
No.
Okay. I always want to let the Spirit of God do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word. Father, we just thank you. Oh, Father, I love you so much. Oh, Father, I love your word. Oh, Father, I love your Holy Spirit. As we are encouraged and as we are edified tonight, Father, as these words are spoken into their lives, Father, I just pray that we take what was established here tonight and we take it out tomorrow into the workplace, tomorrow into the schools, tomorrow into our families, and the rest of the week, that that which has been established and deposited on the inside of us will be manifested in the lives of others as we speak words of edification, words of grace in Jesus' name. And I count it as done. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Tonight was good. Thank you so much for coming out. Thank you so much for stepping out in Jesus' name. And take some time. Just hug on one another. Just bless and edify and encourage one another in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God.